what's going on, James. They say you're finished.
What do you think?
I think you're just getting started.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Time for this week's edition of On the Mark with Mark Leonard. This week, Mark is talking about the film Spectre.
It's the fourth time at bat for Daniel Craig as Agent 007 in the 24th official James Bond film since starting with Dr. No in 1962. But where does this most expensive Bond movie ever land critically when considering every incarnation of the last 50-plus years? I would choose somewhere in the middle, in a field that includes Goldfinger as my gold standard and Craig's first appearance in Casino Royale not far behind, while embarrassments like 1979's Moonraker pick up the rear. You've got all the typical exciting global espionage and gee-whiz gadgetry in Spectre, along with some absolutely smashing women and an exciting opening that pays homage to 1973's Live and Let Die, but unfortunately, it goes on forever at 148 minutes, the longest one of the two dozen in the series. And Quentin Tarantino may have won him two Academy Awards, but Christoph Waltz is only an adequate villain in this installment. Director Sam Mendes brought 2012 Skyfall to the critical and financial peak of the series. He's less successful here, even though Spectre is the second straight Bond entry to grab a Best Original Song Oscar, this time for Writings on the Wall. Let's grade this one a B-. Ed, back to you.
Thanks, Mark. And as always, don't forget to check out Mark's terrific website. You can read all of his long-form reviews. Simply go to reviewedbymarkleonard.wordpress.com. And as always, Mark will be back next week. When was the last time you went and got gas for your car? I bet you had an easier time than I did. And just because of the inherent way I have to get gas where I live, I essentially live on planet Xenon. Yes, the one place in the world where you're not allowed to self-serve. Fill your own tank. It is so foreign to me. I had to go out to Ohio a couple of weeks ago, so I'm driving along in Pennsylvania and in Ohio, and it's you drive in and, ooh, look at this, I have to do it myself. And like you do wherever you live, you walk inside the convenience store section of the gas station and you give the guy a $20 bill and say, pump eight, whatever. Or you stand outside and you swipe your card and you do it and off you go. Well, in New Jersey, we're not allowed to pump our own gas for some strange reason. So there is an attendant and you have to tell him how much gas you want. If you don't want to fill up, you give him a numerical amount, $20. So that's what I did. This happened twice in a couple of weeks, so it's kind of interesting and it's kind of curious, and it happened at the same station along the Garden State Parkway. So off I am, trying to get to the studio one afternoon, so I'm essentially late for work, and I need to be on the air in 40 minutes, and it's about a 45-minute drive, so I better move it. But I need gas. I had a $20 bill on me. Didn't want to stop at a bank, didn't have time to deal with all that at an ATM or whatever, and I really don't trust handing them my card at these stations either, because there's been incidents of phishing in New Jersey with people using their cards at gas stations. Anyway, so I drive in, and I'm thinking, okay, I got a $20 bill, let me get $15 worth of gas, then I got a $5 bill left, I can get some coffee up at the commissary at work. So I say to the guy, 15 regular cash. So I'm in the car, and I look back as I'm realizing it's taking quite a lot of time to put $15 worth of gas into my car, and I see we're up to 17, here's 18. By the time I get out of the car and go and stop it on myself manually, and I'm breaking the law and doing it, but I don't care at this point, it's at 19:02. And he comes over, and he looks dumbfounded. I said, 15. Oh, you didn't say 20? No, there's a big difference between 15 and 20. So, you know what? I was not going to stand there and argue. I let him give me back $1 for my $20 bill. Off I went. I had my gas, but my coffee idea was ruined. A couple of weeks later, I go back into the same station, thinking that was an oddity, an anomaly, a fluke. Mm-mm. I had my $20 bill. Same deal. I'm running late. All right, 15, and I'll get my coffee when I get to work. Well, I turn around, and all of a sudden, I see I'm up to 23 and 24. So here I go again, jumping out of the car, and I gotta hit it. Somebody else. I said 15. Oh, you didn't want it filled? No, I didn't. And at this point, I felt like I was suckered a couple of weeks before, whenever it was. I was not going to let it happen again. I said no. I said 15. And I even gave him like a 1 and a 5 with my hands, kind of like an NBA referee announcing who the foul was on. And I would only pay $15. And he looked at me. I said, if you have a problem with it, get your manager or get the police. And he turned as red as a beet and gave me my change and off I went. nice little scam that could be going on there. Or, you know what, I just don't feel like making change, so I just give them a little more. What's the difference? When you want $15 worth of gas, you're only willing to pay for $15 worth of gas. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, go get another job. Maybe you shouldn't be dealing in a customer service type of relationship that a gas attendant is. It gets back to the main idea, though, that why in New Jersey do we have to suffer having to have people pump our gas? Really? I wonder how the guys who own these stations feel about it, that they have to employ people to simply do something that everybody else is doing all across the country. It is stupid, it is dumb, and it sets people up for situations like this. This is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Who likes to negotiate? Not most people. It's stressful.
Joel Peterson, past CEO of Trammell Crow, the world's largest private real estate developer, says successful negotiations are about win-win.
I've negotiated billions of dollars worth of transactions over 30-some years. I try to get to the point where I understand what the other party wants and am able to say it to them in a way that they relax. And they say, this guy, he's able to say better than I am what I want. That's a very disarming position. So if you're getting bowled over by somebody, you're feeling crushed, it's because you have not done your homework. You've allowed them to do that.
Get what you want and help people get what they want.
Do your homework for big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
If you're adding precious metals to your portfolio, then call Augusta Precious Metals, a leader in gold and silver sales for over 40 years. Call Augusta now at 855-858-5805. 855-858-5805.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. New York State may be first in the nation to come to grips with texting behind the wheel. You could be asked to textilize.
Huh? Textilize.
Not breathalyze. Textilize.
Plugs into your phone instead of your mouth.
Today on American Biker Minute.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Open road carnage has led ABM to block all texts from our phones. We are for liberty. We are against big government intrusion, but we might give a nod of approval to New York State. The Textilizer works like a breathalyzer, only it plugs into your phone instead of your mouth. Textilizer, made by a company called Cell Bright, rats out any texting done during a crash. The Textilizer, too invasive, not invasive enough, or the right idea at the right time. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.